Okay, we'll, Graham and I will talk, we'll split this between us as we go through it, hopefully seamlessly, but we will see. What we're going to do is cover RCAT. That's chopped off that. The Rapid Campaign Analysis Toolset. You can see this up in the exercises and demonstrations this afternoon and this evening. That's what we're going to cover, some of the origins, the pillars, and the our idea is to introduce it, not to go into great detail. You'll get the detail if you see it later on. I wanted to introduce it just by talking a little bit about its origins. This was something that we as a team, you'll see the team in a minute, put together in response to an opportunity from the UK government. CDE is a UK government initiative. And they were asking for, you see that major bullet down there against purpose, for something that would enable evaluation, basically, of high-level plans, campaign plans, very quickly at a strategic, operational stroke strategic level. Nothing in the opportunity about manual games of any type. What we bid in response to that was a simple system that should be flexible and quick running, that was actually based on a purely manual process. So we bid in a manual game, war game, newly developed manual war game as a response to that opportunity. We deliberately pitched it as using a physically based system, map sheets, counters, etc. We didn't preclude moving on to computer based or computer hosting later on, but we wanted to start on the manual system to start with. Part of the, I think, the strength of this whole piece of work was the team you see here. You've got the real experts involved in actually looking at the requirement, developing a response, and so on, as you saw that. Cranfield actually were lead, but in effect it was the people you see there who did the work, and Graham in particular did a lot of the development work. The process that we embarked upon in March last year, it was only March through August, 2012, we started off first by taking some historical scenarios at the appropriate level, campaign level, which were developed and actually briefed by Arrigo. We looked through those and we tried to identify the important factors that played a part in the outcomes of those campaigns. Having done that, we then went through with our expert panel, with the people here on this list, and said, what are the factors? How do we represent those factors in a manual game? What mechanisms are there that you've seen, either from previous exercises or from other systems? And then we developed a game. Largely that was done offline, Graham chiefly himself developing it, looking as well as taking the recommendations from the team members, looking at COTS games. So some of the games you saw on the Phil slide earlier, we looked at some of those, looked at the mechanisms they used as a bit of cross-fertilisation, validation as a comparison to make sure we hadn't missed anything. And we did tweak that as we went through to do that. And ended up with a product system that was finished in August last year, so it was completed March through August, that's the time it took, and has since been used twice on two pieces of analysis work related to that original question, so that campaign analysis. Two tasks were completed using the RCAT system that we're about to go through with you. Great.
Okay, so before we go through the pillars, which are the fundamental building blocks, just going to put up a couple of slides so you can see what we're talking about. As Jeremy said, upstairs this afternoon, this evening, you can actually get hands-on. So slide, please. That is Liberia, so, and that's actually a digitized version, so that is one step beyond the draft, and that is upstairs exactly as you see it. The next one, please. Is a hidden slide, which I'll show you at the end if there's time. Okay, so that was just to give you an idea of what the system, the simulation looks like. The pillars that we use there, very important. The core selection wargaming, seminar wargaming, and red teaming bring in some of the elements that we've been talking about today. So an adversarial approach is absolutely critical. Challenging assumptions, identifying risks, that clearly a structured discussion between experts. That's starting to bring in a lot of things we've talked about already. The command and staff training just brings in the concept of an umpire, an adjudication, and all the things you would expect to find in that instance. Absolutely critical, and I'm not a doctor in Nazi, but I really do believe that if a military person is using a system in a military context, he or she needs to recognise the language being used. Blindingly obvious, we do not really do that. A lot of recreational games use language which is from, clearly, City Street, if you like. We are absolutely adamant that wherever we use a term, it has got a military connotation and military people use it. Really obvious, but it has to happen. Same concept, if you like, force ratios. Again, most military guys, certainly in the land environment, will understand that if you're attacking in a certain context of 3-1, that will mean certain things. Things like rolling to hit and other recreational gaming mechanisms might not be appropriate. Force ratios we found were appropriate, certainly in the land environment. Equally, in the air environment, maritime less so because you're dealing with platforms. But where possible, we are using known aspects of military planning and force ratios in that instance. Likewise, combat effectiveness. When you see it upstairs, you will see that if a unit or a force element takes some losses or something like that, that will be reflected in terms of combat effectiveness, which also is not just casualties, it's things like morale, logistics, and all the other myriad of things that feature into that. But we use combat effectiveness as opposed to a step loss. So using military language. Slide, please. Next pillar. Again, those of you who have played recreational games will be very aware of things like command points or whatever it is, and that's a very common mechanism. We took that and just slightly adapted it using the same principle I've just gone through. Instead of command points, we just have those three categories, which are arm points, which are a constraint. So when you see it upstairs, you will see, played upstairs, that you will have a certain number of points which you expend. If we're doing that in an analytical context, as it has been with DSDL, clearly with the blue, the friendly forces side, they just run their plans as they planned them. What we will do in the background is just make sure that they are not overstepping the resources they've got available. That's the mechanism. The benefits is, this is something that Phil has talked about, that it is a constraint, but it forces people to prioritise. And when you're using RCAP in an analytical context, which we have done so far, understanding those priorities is really, really important. So imposing the constraint leads to that. The last thing, you can see some of the gubbins there, you can have a look upstairs, but it enables us to bring in this pillar, the other pillars do likewise, pretty much any effect we want to create. So I'm not saying that this is effects-based wargaming or anything like that, but if you want to do some of those really difficult things, you just decide what you need to do, what the effect would be, you allocate your arc point tariff, and that enables that to be played. Excuse me. That will, for example, info activities, be backed up by the guy who's actually making the decision, who's taking the planning, explaining what it is that he or she, in this instance, is doing as part of their messaging. So it's not just a case of sticking a counter on, it's a case of explaining the planner, explaining his or her plan. Next slide, please. Right, this is cracking. All that soft, really difficult stuff. And a huge hand of respect to Charles, sat in the front, who told me, he phoned me up one night and said, what you want to do is you want to have beer mats. You want to have things that look like beer mats, and they show different colours when different factions affect them. So that one, for example, that tribe, whatever it may be, starts green. If it gets affected, you flip it over, it's red. Not only does that provide a very nice visual impression of what's going on the map, but again, it just highlights what soft influence factors you want to represent inside the game. Excuse me. That's the tribe thing. This is fundamental. It's a really simple mechanism. We call it marker tracks. It could be key performance indicators, whatever it may be. And that, you can see two very clear examples here. Actions that happen in the game are then translated onto these marker tracks in part of the phase, which is the consequence management phase. That is taking best practice from Course of Action Wargaming, because Afghanistan has clearly shown that the normal action, reaction, counteraction cycle needs consequence management at the end, where everybody else says, right, you're going to do that, that'll happen. If that's happening, that'll happen. So we have a consequence management phase, and these markers move up and down depending on in-game actions and depending on the adjudication, if you like, of the subject matter experts. And actually, the game, if it's recreational, is won or lost in these marker tracks, not in the kickback mode that's going on in the game. And here, it was Howard, when we were developing this, we said we must have a mechanism whereby, for example, the blue plan is seen to be failing. You need to reach a point where you now have to say, we now either have to amend the plan or you're into a genuine question four, the situation has completely changed. And these are a very simple, very straightforward, very powerful mechanism within. within the game. Next slide, please. We've touched on a lot of this, so I'll skip very quickly forward. That is absolutely fundamental. So again, that's call to action wargaming. It's red teaming, challenging assumptions. If you want a career in the military, don't be a red teamer, because you're really, really unpopular, but it's a fundamental capability. We have, Jeremy and I, have been given a brief by Colin, the rest of the team, on whatever activity is coming up. We've sat down, got some maps off Google, got some blank counters, scribbled some factors on them, and within the space of an afternoon, we are deriving insights for whatever planning activity is going on. It is that quick. Clearly needs refining. Execution, you'll see it upstairs, so I'm not going to say anything about that, but it is very, very fast. These are, everything here is fundamental. It has to be simple. People have to come along, they have to look at it, they have to understand it, and facilitate it by us, they have to get on and use it. I put up a slide earlier on, in terms of analysis, we took the very firm view that everything has to be transparent. Everybody analysing, using, has to look at it, has to be able to see all the factors, and has to understand why certain outcomes happen, and that is, so there's no hidden movement or anything like that. You could very easily development, but we think that is fundamental from an analytical viewpoint. And that also applies to whatever computer systems are being plugged into this, more in a second. Flexibility, you can see it, you can understand it, the rules are open to everyone. If you want to change it, it's very easy to do. Situational awareness, very, very quickly. Page 16 of Phil's book, he's talked about it already, the central acuity of the human eye, a wonderful thing. ARCAP gives you that focus on whatever's going on and the wider perspective. And also fundamentally, military people come in, they see a map, they recognise it looks like a map. The fact that it's got counters on doesn't matter. It looks like a course of action all day. They're happy with it. So very, very important. Right, just one slide on applicability. Funny old thing, it can be used pretty much anywhere you want. It is an analytical tool. So this is the, straight out of the red teaming guide, that's the six-step operational estimate. And you can use ARCAP where these stars come out. I'm not going to explain it, it's fairly self-evident. Next build, please. We have used it primarily under DSTL auspices for experimentation, so on and so forth. I'm not going to talk about that, but you can imagine what it's like. And again, up to Colin Howard, you know, people can come talk and it, classification, whatever. But speak to the DSTL guys if you want to know more details. And the last one, command and staff training. Very, very easy to adapt an analytical tool to a command and staff environment, but you have to be conscious of the different type of war game, i.e. education training versus analysis, but it can be used in any of those contexts.
Okay, just something on the mechanisms very quickly. You've already seen its counters from the picture, the markers, the marker tracks, and so on. What we also did is not just a system you take straight out of the box and play for the analytical version anyway, so we wrapped it in this overall process, which is all about looking at the problem, then designing your own version, your specific tailored versions of things like marker tracks, unit strengths, player configuration. How many players are we actually going to have in this exercise? Is it just red versus blue? You're going to have various different factions as well. All that needing to be defined in the upfront phase and then feeding into the event itself you see there. Then during the event, we've actually got this detailed turn sequence. Not going to go through this detail now. In effect, there's a decision phase. There's an execution phase as you move and affect combat. Finally, finishing off with the marker track, the actual consequence management phase at the end, which is, okay, given what's happened, what effect has that had on the general situation, perceptions of local population, international community, and so on, using those marker tracks. So it's not just a bunch of counters and maps, it's actually a whole system wrapping around that.
Could you just go back two slides?
Yeah.
I do apologise. Just want to bring up one point here. It's very much a hybrid tool. It's got its own internal mechanisms. We are using DSTL or whatever computers to provide answers as well. Also, critically, subject matter expertise. So any of those systems for deriving outcomes work as a hybrid tool. Sorry.
In terms of mechanisms in detail, I'm not going to go through those in great detail. Very simple. The whole point about it is for it to be simple, quick, and flexible. So if somebody wants to try something different, the rules allow you to flex around it, which is a differentiator to a computer-based system. Simple movement, very simple movement, as you'll see. Oh, we've got a font gone here in this computer. Combat, basically two mechanisms of combat. There's a straight land force, force-on-force combat ratio. I'll show you the CR combat results table in a minute. but incorporates things like stances, if you're fortifications and so on, all out attacks versus just demonstration type attacks. We also have a simpler mechanism for interdiction, things like missile attacks, air attacks, air strikes, naval strikes are done in the same way, where we have a high degree of aggregation. You don't have individual aircraft packages flying around, you actually use a point system to allocate those to targets to add on to the force-on-force combat. There's a combat results table. You see standard ratio. There's a dice roll if you want to. In our exercises, we've sometimes gone for the straight average and explained the outcomes to the people involved, or you can actually include roll a dice if you wish. Outcomes are combat effectiveness loss, step loss in this forum, neutralisation and retreat as well, all effects being represented. Counters, just a note on counters. You've got various numbers depicting combat strength on land versus air defence, etc. Naval and anti-submarine also played. We can do insurgency and covert actions in a very simplistic way. You can apply effects of EW and cyber info activities, and they come as part of the marker tracks that you saw earlier. We also represent and have done every time humanitarian effects. Logistics are simplistic again, there's no great detail there. You can also inject things like mil-mil, so events basically to cause disruption, cause some changes to plans. In terms of outputs, the key part of this, how do you get outputs? That's of course one of the disadvantages of a manual system. It's photographs. Instead of everything being recorded as people move, it's photographs. It's a scribe who's recording things that occur. And actually, that's one of the most powerful things. He or she hears all the conversations going on while the turn progresses, and those are captured. So it's not just he went here, it's why he went here, what happened, and so on. And in addition, you've got the marker track record of how they changed, and indeed why they changed. And that's brutally successful so far.
Right, we're just going to show you six slides very, very quickly, literally in the space of a minute, just to whet your appetite for what you're going to come upstairs and play with for the rest of the day, just to show you some of the aspects of the game in very quick detail. That's the overview, in fact, that's the draft. So all that's manual, so that's Talc and Tommy H3 drawing all over it with various insects and marker tracks around the outside. That's the overview. Next one. So a little bit of detail now, just shows you what's going on here. The point to note is anything that needs to be represented can very quickly, easily be introduced into the system. So here, organised crime, piracy, whatever it may be, we have a mechanism to play that. That can be developed as a player, or it can be done automatically, very quick, very simple. So and you can see here, ineffective governance markers, there's a piracy marker hidden in there somewhere.
That's fine,
it's perfect. The insects, you saw them on the previous slide, very, very simply, if you have a town or an A-pod or an S-pod or whatever it may be, and you need to break things out, then the insect allows you to do that. Very simple indeed, it's just a clarity, analytical tool. Next slide. Our point is, that's just showing how we put down, if necessary, the ARC counters, just to keep, for us to keep track of who is doing what, if you like. And here, for example, that ARC counter has been used for information activities or from a rebel perspective, propaganda, whatever it may be. That would have to be explained by the information activities planner or whatever it may be. So ARC actions need tracking. Next slide. Consequence management, I've said, absolutely fundamental. You have a look at it upstairs. You don't need to read the detail. These are the in-game actions which affect the marker tracks, and then the outputs from the marker tracks affect things like whether you win or lose, whether you can recruit, whether you can influence tribes, whatever it may be. That victory condition, that is a recreational variant which we'll see upstairs. But that lot, marker tracks, absolutely fundamental. Next slide. Influence spot markers, I've mentioned, and these work very much. So here we go, very much Charles's brainwave. So you can see that is still loyal to the government. That one has been influenced. Critical national infrastructure, hydroelectric plant. You'll see here some of the mechanisms it just affects, in this case, the government asset points. Humanitarian, I'm not going to go through the detail now. Come upstairs and we'll talk to you about that. That, I think, is a very strong feature of the game. You just cannot ignore all that side of life. Sabotage, in this instance, that's the sabotage of a ground line of communication. Logistics is played to the necessary level. Tom Moab, one of the developers, said that logistics happens, it's only in exceptional circumstances, you're short of critical supplies or whatever it may be, critical spares, but we have got logistics, again, to the extent that it needs to be represented. Next slide. Combat we've talked about, so that's just an inset for clarity. Excuse me, a neutralisation marker, but that is just to show everyone what's going on. I mentioned transparency, so we get an outcome. Everyone understands how you derive that outcome. Jeremy's already mentioned the CRT. Okay, that was a tester, if you like. We're going to be upstairs for the afternoon.